Hi everyone, my name's Steve Tudor and welcome to the Premier League Show. It's a show that means more. On today's pod, we're going around the grounds as always, paying particular attention to a certain little kickabout occurring in L4 Liverpool. We'll also be offering ourselves up, for future mockery by making our end of season predictions. Bravely volunteering for this, I'm delighted to be joined today by two Friday favourites. They're probably my favourite of the favourites, but just don't tell the others. It's Steve McGovern and Chris. Hi, Steve. You well?
Oh, I'm well. I'm so glad I've gotten into that top two.
You were always in the top two.
And I tell you what, I'm not number two.
You were. I was about to say you were never top, but you were always top two. Always promotion. Always promotion, mate.
Yeah.
And speaking of top, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you today, sir? Steve,
I'm okay. Yeah. As we were speaking off air. I'm glad it's the end of the week. It's been quite a testing week.
Yeah.
I'm okay. It's been a very busy period. I was privileged to become a granddad for the second time.
Congratulations.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. So congrats. Little Isaac joined us. So it's really beneficial to be a youngish grandparent because it just means you've still got all the energy and enthusiasm. Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to indoctrinating him for wearing a blue top at the boat. His father's really into cricket, so I think I'm going to have just free rein on what football he chooses.
Brilliant. That's all perfect.
I have a real bee in my bonnet about like parents who are like, no, you have to wear this Liverpool jersey or you have to be a Man United fan or stuff. But I think it's completely fine when it's grandparents. I think
Agreed.
That's totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Well, what I would say, Steve, to that is that, as I think, obviously, the traditional route to who you mm-hmm. support is your local team. But also, if we consider our own histories and people that we know, often we inherit our football team. And so it's not always geographic. Perfectly located, and so my grandson will inherit my football team.
I followed my granddad. You know, my dad was a red, but my granddad was a blue, so I followed my granddad. So, just very quickly before we start, I am an oldish dad, whereas you're a youngish grandparent.
Yeah,
Did you see what I put on Twitter this week about what happened to me?
I didn't. What was that, Steve?
I took my daughter, my 2-year-old, to a toddler.
Oh, I did. Carry on, but I did. Yeah.
Oh, Steve, this is bad. So we're at the door, and this girl answers, and normally it's my wife who takes her to this particular toddler group. So the girl on the door says to my daughter, oh, and who have you brought with you today, daddy or granddad?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Steve, I'm going to depress you now, but I get the inverse often. So my granddaughter's 9. And they often, if I'm going somewhere, they'll say, okay, so just, has daddy got the form for you? And I go, I'm sorry, but no, actually.
Oh,
I'm a grandfather. So
you must feel so smug when that happens.
Oh, I'm just walking on air. Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic.
Let's get to this weekend, and particularly this Sunday, the big one. And that actually leads me to my first question, which I'll come to you, Steve, for. Is it too early to call this a title decider?
Will this specific match decide the title? Mm. Probably not, because there's other big matches to come. And the fact that it's basically a three-way race means that, this isn't exactly a title decider, but it could have huge ramifications for the title race. And like, I kind of see a City win, meaning City are firmly in the driver's seat. It's their kind of race to lose. And if Liverpool win, it's like, whoa, like this is crazy. Like this, like now it's the completely opposite situation. And now you have City and Arsenal who have, you know, will have so much work to do. So it just changes the dynamic, I think, rather than actually, you know, saying, oh yeah, that's our champions now, you know?
No, I think that's fair. Chris, would you go along with that? Because I mean, Liverpool have lost only twice all season. City are more than capable of winning their remaining games, to be frank. It does feel like this. I think I err on the side of what Steve says. It's not a decider as such, but my God, it's going to have some big ramifications.
I think the use of the word title decider is misleading, isn't it? Because I've always thought that. Because a title decider is the game where the team who wins a title in that game, effectively, right? And we've had a number of end of season, last day of the season, title deciding games. The way I look at it is I take a longer term strategic approach in that after this, we've got 10 games. If we win this game, the title is in our hands. Because I think whoever wins a title is going to need to have pretty much a flawless record in the last quarter of this season. And so if we were to win this game, we'd go 2 points ahead of Liverpool. And if Arsenal win their game this weekend, we'd stay 1 point ahead of them. So then in that respect, the title is very much in our hands. And so I wouldn't call it a title decider, but I would very much call it a title shaper more than anything, really.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's why I think it is critical, the result. I know it sends Howard into meltdown mode where we said a must win, but I would say if this game is not a must win in terms of the impact it can have on the rest on the rest of the title running, then I don't know which game is.
A key factor in this, in fact, before I get to this, I really want to talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold's comments. I wasn't going to, but then Ruben Diaz responded yesterday, in addition to Erling Haaland. I'll stay with you on this one, Chris. When I saw it, I just thought it was pathetic comments to make by Alexander-Arnold. Very indicative of a fan base who really, you know, goes in big for those kind of things about it meaning more, etc., and painting themselves as the underdogs and everything has to be, you know, the greatest ever. Haaland's comments back were just perfect, just knocked them out, just, you know, flapped them away. Ruben Diaz went into more detail yesterday. A brilliant response, but still more detail. There's two ways of looking at this. Either he has got under City players' skins, and, you know, kind of rattled him in the terminology that Liverpool fans love to use. Or he's really poked a bear, and that's a stupid thing to do ahead of meeting Manchester City. Which way do you see it?
Well, first of all, I think it's important. Having had experience of being stung by being quoted out of context, I once spoke about the Arts Council in an article, and my quote was very much out of context, so it seemed much more inflammatory than it actually was.
Yeah.
So I'm always wary when a quote is presented. I think, well, I want to know the context within which he said that. What he said in itself does feel symptomatic of that holier than thou self-righteous attitude that Liverpool, the Liverpool fan base largely possesses, and it evidently would seem some of the players as well. I think that I doubt whether Alexander, I won't call him Trent because I don't know him. So Alexander Arnold, I doubt whether he was actually strategically going out to try and wind up and play mind games. I don't think he bears that kind of sort of emotional intelligence to be able to do that. But I do think, obviously, the media will jump onto that, and they've enhanced it and heightened it to try and stir things up as much as possible. And equally, the City player didn't need to comment, but they did when they were asked. And I think the measured and calm and dismissive tone, particularly from Haaland, of the response shows actually they've not got under the skin at all. Because when you're sitting on a treble, then you have no reason to be poked because as the bear, you are dominant. For me, it just feels like Alexander-Arnold sort of misguided attempt probably to sort of boost his fan base and the usual exploitative antics of the media to hype it up. But in this situation, unless at this point in the season, when it's this close, unless you are very deliberately employing a strategy of trying to wind your opponents up, just keep your mouth shut and do your talking on the field. Because if City win on Sunday, Alexander-Arnold will be crucified by the City fan base because of his comments. And so the risk factor is enormous. But yeah, just keep quiet and do your talking on the pitch.
I've already got my "this means more" tweets just in draft. So yeah.
Yeah, of course you have, Steve.
Yeah.
I just wanted to chime in there just because, Chris, what you were saying about the media is that we don't often get very interesting quotes from footballers.
Yes.
So I, from that side of things, me being behind the keyboard often, you know, I can see why they are like, oh, this is lovely. This is a nice little juicy comment to like take, because we don't get this very often, footballers. But then in turn, you know, it will lead to less interesting comments in the future because Trent Alexander will see the reaction. He'll see what will happen if City wins. So it's kind of one of those catch-22s. But yeah, I wouldn't crucify him for the comment. I'm you know, thinking back to when Francesco Totti would say one title for Roma meant more there, or meant as many, you know, as 20 titles for Juventus, you know what I mean? And I don't think he was actually even being as vociferous as like Totti was being when he made that famous quote. So yeah, I give him a little bit of slack, but I do, you know, basically agree with the tenor of what you're saying, in the sense that like there is this general like, yes, this means more in Liverpool, which is complete bollocks. Like it's almost like a cult thing that they create around that club.
I would say, Stu, that the comparison between Roma and Juventus and Liverpool and Man City is a little bit hard. Because I don't think they're comparable. I understand Totti's response, because he was a world-class player playing in a chronically underachieving Roma side. So when they did something, it was massive.
Yeah.
But for me, there's nowhere near the distinction between Liverpool and City in terms of size of club and previous history there was between Roma and Juventus.
It is a little bit ridiculous, because it's not like, you know, like you're talking about, like if Fulham won, you know, Fulham won the Intertoto Cup 20 years ago, and I'm still talking about it. You know what I mean? Like we've never won a major trophy. Liverpool are the single most successful club in the history of English football. Like it is frankly ridiculous to suggest that.
£2.7 billion in Klopp's time there. Let's not forget. I mean, money shouldn't always be a factor, but it clearly is a factor as regards to being a successful football team these days. You know, they have spent only fewer than United, City and Chelsea. They're I'm up there. So
I'm so glad you corrected yourself, because I've gone out of my way to correct people who say less instead of fewer. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's a bugbear of mine, that one as well.
I saved myself at the last there. Salah played 15 minutes last night. Szoboszlai played, I think it was about 25, 30 minutes. But both are coming back from muscle pulls, muscle strains, you know, hamstring in the case of Salah. And it's gone wrong for them before. You know, they've been rushed back already. So bearing in mind as to the kind of football the Liverpool play and the style of football that they're going to deploy at Anfield this weekend, it's a risk, isn't it? If both of those players start the weekend, do you think they will?
Yeah, I don't know if they will start, but I do feel like, especially with Salah, that Klopp has been keeping him in reserve. I think like if the Carabao Cup final had been, say, end of the season, Mo Salah would have played, you know, in the same scenario where he's coming back from a muscle injury and he's almost there, but he's not quite 100%. They would have played him, absolutely, but they were also like, we can't risk him. They have been eyeing this game specifically, I think, in order to have him 100%. They knew they had the Europa League. Let's give him a little bit of time. Let's give Szoboszlai a little bit of minutes in the legs as well. They came back. They both put the ball in the net on Thursday as well. I know Salah was offside, but Szoboszlai got that last second goal. So they're raring to go. So it's a huge boost for Liverpool. I think they might be okay to start, but obviously there is that kind of, the problem is that they might not be 100% or ready to go. There might be a little bit of rust. We saw with Haaland when he came back from his injury. Not like, you know, like he's still good, but he's not like 100% Haaland, which is, you know, that kind of guy who could score a hat-trick out of nothing, which Mo Salah is. So I'm very interested to see how Klopp deals with this, whether he starts them or not.
Yeah, I mean, Salah has 17 goals and assists in 20 appearances against City. So you know, we are well-versed in what a danger he poses. But if you just take 2 or 3% off him, same as any Premier League footballer, doesn't matter how good or great they are, it shows. And in a fixture like this, which is going to be absolutely frenetic, particularly for the first 25 minutes, then it might really show. But I'm getting ahead of myself, and maybe I'm invested too much.
I think that's a fair point, because as you're suggesting there, that the most talented players in the world play by margins. So we've seen it with De Bruyne. De Bruyne is one of the most intelligent, one of the most effective passers of the ball in world football. But he's a centimeter player, in that if his pass is 1 centimeter off, it looks like an appalling pass. If it comes off, it looks like a mark of genius. And I think that when you're coming back from an injury, those margins can make a difference. If you compare the two teams, We've had our injuries, but now the strongest team that we can put out on Sunday is actually functioning near to full capacity.
Yeah.
Whereas if Liverpool put out their strongest side, there are a number of players who are just returning from injury who probably won't be functioning at full capacity. And those margins can make a difference. Obviously, you have the other margins about home advantage and the ferocity of crowd. But I think in terms of going into the game, obviously City are explicitly in better, in ruder health than Liverpool. So I think that I noticed with a bit of kind of anticipation that some of those key Liverpool players came back in a big victory last night. But it doesn't, as you say, in a game of the intensity that they anticipate Sunday will be, it might prove to be a balancing act for Klopp rather than a major advantage.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.